We have discussed many halachos with regards to Hilchos Beis HaKnesses. There is more to come tonight. I'm aiming to get all the way to Siman Kuf Nun Beis, because that's really where the Shu'um, the prequel, the Shu'um is starting from. So let's start from Se'if. If we're up to Se'if, Se'ivav. A person is allowed to enter shul b'makloi. That's the bottom of page 64. B'makloi with a stick, b'tamilu v'afundosoi. Pershmini kisim, there are kinds of bags. Targum uveyalkut uvesarmilei. So it's kind of bags. You're allowed to take those kinds of bags, pouches. You're allowed to bring them to shul. V'yesh oisim some asid lekones boy besakin oruch. Some asa and say you can't walk around with those bags. They are more meant for traveling purposes. They are meant more for schlepping purposes. You don't take them into shul. And it's inappropriate to take them into Beis HaKnesses. Even sakin oruch, a long stick, or Moish Megula, or uncovered head. Just speaking about Moish Megula, I need to add that Moshe Feinstein speaks about Moish Megula, and he says nowadays, if a person, Moish Megula, uncovered head, Ramosha speaks that nowadays it could even be that a person is not Yotze B'dyevet Tefillah. Rabsham Zaman says that if you daven B'dyevet, you're still Yotze davening. It doesn't say anywhere that it's Ma'akev. No, if you suddenly met, you realize that you've davened, suddenly you realize you didn't have a couple on or something like that. So, but Ramosha says that nowadays, because the goyim are Ma'akev to take everything off as they walk into their services, Lehavdil. So therefore, he said that could be it's a chukas agoy. And it's the person who davens and he realizes he doesn't have a kapel on. Kolut Ramosh is not Yotze, but Yevet. Here is maybe the place to ask an interesting shot that Moshe Feinstein was asked in the 1960s. Moshe has a tshuva about a blind man's dog. It was a blind person who was unable to make it without his dog. And he had a dog who was guiding him and helping him and supporting him to wherever he needed to go. And he wants to go to shul on Shabbos. Never mind Shabbos, but as far as this child is concerned now, he wants to take this guide dog. He would take that into shul. Is it mutar also? We learned a walking stick is not okay. Uncovered head is not okay. Some bags are inappropriate because it's disrespectful. What about the dog?
Mutar?
It's his eyes. So why is it so very interesting? So Moshe Feinstein has got a tshuva about this, and Moshe Feinstein is actually matir. He says it's permitted, and then he asks. He says, "Well, it can't. Is it really? I mean, is a dog not worse than a walking stick? Is a dog not worse than all these disrespectful things? A dog surely should be worse than that." And Moshe Feinstein says, "No, it's actually not worse. A dog is not worse." And it says, because a bit similar to what you were saying, he says that Moshe Feinstein says that a dog is actually, it's tzorichat fela for this individual. It's necessary for him to daven. He can't make it to shul without this dog. Therefore, it's not disrespectful. If you take a dirty bag and a muddy stick, that's disrespectful. Because you can go to shul without. Why schlepping along all your things with? But for this person, it's not disrespectful because he needs the dog. He needs the guide dog. He said in that particular shaila, yes, he needed it. He absolutely needed it. You're right. What would be the case if he can manage without? Could be that. According to Ramosh, you're not allowed to. Yeah, good point. Pardon?
We haven't done hay.
Okay, so let's do hay. Hoy Levez, I remember speaking about the bialoche here. I can't clearly remember. You remember the... Yeah, I think we have, but fine. Okay, Zayin. Yochel Lorg boy, a person is allowed to spit. Ubilvan Shavshenu Beraglov, as long as you smoothen it afterwards with your foot, so you're allowed to spit in the Beis HaKnesses, as long as people used to have much more saliva in their mouths. The teeth weren't as clean as we have got them nowadays, and people couldn't look after them so much. So they needed to add a lot more, so it was quite a common thing to spit out. But you smoothen out afterwards in the Beis HaKnesses. And remember, there was no stone floor often. Or there should be some leaves. Leaves, or it could even be hay, or whatever it is, or any kind of, that when you spit, you can cover it up afterwards. So the shaila is that, are you allowed to So the Mishnah Berurah says, if cotton chav dalet, ubilvad shelo b'shas tefilah shmoneh esrei. Yes, you're allowed to spit panoyim milov shmoneh esrei. But yes, a beis hakneses is not considered disrespectful to spit in the beis hakneses. Rabbi Yisrael, is this true nowadays as well? Yes or no? No. Why not? Floors have changed. So you see that because of the floors are different, that's why. Okay. The Mishnah Berurah says another reason. He says that in Sharetzin Tziv Kotten Tezvov, he says, V'yesh le'ayin le'oysam anoshim ha'ashirim, the rich people, the wealthy people, te'makpitim beveysam ala rekike. If you're a rich person, you don't tend to spit in your house. You spit in your house, so you must be rich. Yeah. The oysam ha'ashirim, the rich people, I tend not to spit in there. Those people, says the Mishnah Berurah, that if you're rich and you don't spit in your house, for them it's surely inappropriate to spit as well in the Beis HaKnesses. If you do it at home, you can do it in shul. If you don't do it at home, don't start spitting around in Beis HaKnesses. Makes sense, no? Continue the Shulchan Aruch Sif Ches. Tit shal raglov. Mud on feet. On shoes, rather. Shiroi lekanchoi kodim shikonis leispalad. You have to rub it off and scratch it off the mud. As you're entering Beis HaKnesses, you should do that before. Don't go with muddy shoes into shul. And you should make sure that as much as possible that your clothes should be clean as you enter the Beis HaKnesses. Mishnah Berurah does remind us in Tzivkot Chofesh, with Shabbos Shos Leshavshev, Yamid Amin Olav Olav Yamid Amin Olav Ad Shin Yismaich. Says the Mishnah Berurah reminds us on Shabbos you're not allowed to rub it, to crumble it. You're not allowed to crumble it on Shabbos. So he said just step on it until it goes away, but don't actually positively crumble it on Shabbos. So that's right. Tzivkot Chavov tells us Gemi Oy Tevin Or Vechoil, whether it's mud or sand or whatever it is, as long as you cover the spit, it's acceptable. Sif test. No again, but I'm covered. Lechabdom v'leravtsom. There is a halacha that you should give, treat the Beis HaMikdash respectfully. It should be swept. It should be cleaned. It should be a nice and presentable Beis HaMikdash. Lechabdom means to sweep. Lechabdom means to clean with water. Perish kibbut nikui abayis. Kibbut nikui abayis means to sweep the floor. Ributz is rikas hamayim al pnei hakarka. Is to throw water on the ground, sponge to make it all nice and clean. For nagin lehalik b'em neres lechabdom, and it's also another way of honoring the shul is by having lights. In it should be a light and bright place. The basic nes should be light and bright, and it should be even more bright. We've learned previously that it should be more bright on Shabbos and even more bright on Yom Tov. Basic nes should be bright. That's right. No, don't think so. Yeah. Yeah. Sif Yud. That's the Tanai that we've mentioned earlier. We spoke about the Tanai already, didn't we? The Tanai of the stipulation that the Ketusha should be Chal. Okay, that's the Sif now. Afilu la'achas shechov u'adainim b'ktushoson. Even after the Beis HaKnesses is destroyed, adainim b'ktushoson, the Ketusha still is still there. The Ketush is still there. V'kshem shenagin bohem kovod b'yishuvon, just as there's an obligation to treat respectfully a Beis HaKnesses b'yishuvon when it's standing, kach, similarly, noigan b'chubonon, you also need to treat it respectfully after it's been destroyed, b'chubonon. Do you know of a destroyed shul, or a didn't shul that is not acting in an active state anymore? Yeah, to some extent, but even that's a mikdash me'at, a shul which is not acting anymore. Yeah? There's a few, right. Yeah. So you should still treat it respectfully. And chutz mekibut v'rivutz, you don't have to anymore sweep it and clean the floor. If the shul is not active anymore, we still have to treat it. We're still not allowed to make a party there. You're still not allowed to treat it disrespectful. The previous halachas that we mentioned that still apply besides kibut v'rivutz. So if there's a bit of dust gathering there, that's fine. You don't have to sweep it, but all the other lachas still apply. Vim olubem asovim, if there is grass growing there, I actually saw this once in Hungary, there was already like grass growing in the shul. Tol shinoisam, you have to rip it off, you have to tear it off. Umanichem oisam bimkoimon, mishum agmas nefesh, and put it away, but he should still remain the agmas nefesh. Agmas nefesh, there's still an element of you should. Anguish, thank you very much. Yes, Agmas Nefesh, the element of anguish there. So rip it up, but keep it there. Keep the asovim there, keep the leaves there. Kedejirom, so then all that people should see that. Vesoyim rucham, and the spirit should be troubled and woken up. Vishtadu liv noisam, and they'll attempt again to build it up again. So don't make it so presentable anymore that people don't give it that fresh look, that people should be just happy with it. You should tear off the asavim, but keep it there that people should feel that's not... Pardon? Yeah, yeah. It was not... you couldn't do the whole thing. It was impossible. It was almost impossible. And the next time I went, it was locked up already, and I couldn't enter the shul anymore because it was danger of... Yeah. Right, this is actually very relevant. There's tshuvas in the poskim, and I think one of the recordings actually mentioned that for later simon. There are many shuls in Eastern Europe, countless shuls in Eastern Europe, which are not touched anymore. What are you going to do there? Because the Kedusha, as we're just learning now, the Kedusha is still there. So what are you going to do with those shuls? Can you sell them? Often they were taken away during the war years, and sometimes during communist years as well. But what if they're offering money now, if you can sell it now? Shuls, are you meant to do that or not? Are you allowed to sell a shul? And that's very much got to do with this halacha, because really a shul has got the kedusha even after that's bechubonom, and I'm not even talking about bechubonom. It's just not used anymore. What are you meant to do with a shul which is not in use anymore? And that could be even in England. A shul which is not in use. What are you meant to do with it? Right, right. So you're talking about the British shuls is even more shaykh, yeah. So it's a good shaila. Let's see, but there is a bit of a Pesach. Maybe I can mention it at this point. Let's see the next sif. Sif Yud Aleph. Im b'shas binin b'sakneses. Okay, that's the tznayna. When the b'sakneses was built, b'shas binin b'sakneses, hisnu olav, they made the tznay. They stipulated, let me shtamish boy, now we're going to use it. They built a shul, we said, we're using it now. Gesundheit, hate, we're using it. Motel shtamish boy b'chubonoi, you're allowed to make, motel shtamish boy, excuse me, if you made a stipulation when you built a shul, that when it's being used, it's being used, but after the chub, when the shul is going to come down, the kedusha is evaporating, the kedusha is only there whilst it's being in use. Once the shul collapses, there's no kedusha anymore. That bechubonu, that the mutar l'shtamish bechubonu, you can use the shul bechubonu. Avol be shuvoi, but whilst it's still standing, loy mehani tznai, the tznai does not function. Va'afilu bechubonoi, and even bechubonoi letashmish meguna, even once it's destroyed, letashmish meguna for an inappropriate, disrespectful activity is like such as zriya or cheshbonos shel rabim, who for public cheshbonos for accountants you want to make into offices shel rabim loy mehanit no, the tznai won't work. But medvorim amuri, when does the tznai work? Bevat haknesset shebchutz laoretz, for beis haknesset which is in chutz laoretz, but bevat haknesset beretz yisrael, for bevat haknesset in eretz yisrael loy mehanit shum tznai, the tznai will not work. So we're learning now over here, there's a machloikas as to whether tznai works. A tznai could work in the best case, not akonu shulchan aruch over here. Tznai will not work when the shul is standing. It will only work when the shul comes down. Then the tznai helps, according to the Shulchan Aruch, that then the kedusha is not valid. There's no kedusha anymore, and you can use it for pretty much all purposes, excluding very disrespectful things. Now, why is this? So why is that putting in terms of what we learned?
We rely on this tonight.
Very good. So what's pshat? So the answer is that we've mentioned the tznai previously, and I said then that we rely on the tznai. Very good. For kiddush, for instance, or for other things which seem to be a shaila. The answer is, when I said it then, I said this is according to some rishonim, Rashi and other rishonim, all like that. You're quite right. This shulchan aruch over here holds that the tznai will only work for after the chum. When the Besa Medrash is not functioning anymore. But as long as the Besa Medrash functions, the tznai won't work. That's the opinion of Shulchan Aruch. Other Rishonim, however, are more lenient. They say tznai can even work for whilst it's standing. Be Shuvan. No, not Shulchan Aruch. So, implied in your question is that it's a bit of a, yeah, true. True, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, and again, as was pointed out as well, this is only for Bate Knesset in Chutz La'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael it won't work. Says the Mishnah Berurah, Tzivkot Lamed Zayin, that's important in this in this point, Chutz La'aretz, She'en Kedushas Noilames, the Kedusha of the Bate Knesset in Chutz La'aretz is not eternal. She'en Kshiova Agoyel B'meiro B'Ameinu, when the Mashiach will come B'meiro B'Ameinu, Tivka Kedushasan, the Kedusha will disintegrate, the Kedusha will disappear. Masha Enken, not so, but the Knesset of Eretz Yisrael, for the Knesset of Eretz Yisrael. Right, I just want to point out the Altnai Shul in Prague. So some say the word Altnai Shul. Yeah? So some say it comes from that, Altnai Shul. Yeah, could be, yeah. So it could be, I mean, there's various reasons why the Altnai Shul is called Altnai, but it could certainly be that it was made Altnai, it was one of the early shuls that was built on that Tnai, and that's why it's called Altnai Shul. That's what some say. But it's one of the various interpretations. Okay, moving on to the final Seif in Siman Kuf Nun Aleph. Yesh lizom lishtamish be'aliyah shel gabei beis ha'knesses, tashmish kuvua shel gnai. An aliyah. Aliyah is the attic of a beis ha'knesses. If you've got an attic on top of the shul, it should not be used for regularly for a tashmish shel gnai, for disrespectful activity on top of the shul. Kigoy lishkav sham, she's just lying there. So literally, if you want to lie down over here on top, it's disrespectful. And other various activities which are maybe disrespectful, one should, it's a shafek, it's a doubt, if you're allowed to do that. It's a shaila, to have a use on top, on the top of floor of the Besa Knesset is a shaila.
It would be.
So how can it be done? So first of all, it's all again, if there is a tnai, then a tnai will help, according to some rishonim. And more importantly, it's literally according to many rishonim and achronim, it's literally just on top of the Aron HaKodesh. If it's more further in the back, there's more room for leniency. And yes, ideally, if it's possible not to do that, it's probably better not to. But is only Beis HaKnesses which was initially built for that. But if you've got a house which was built after the Beis HaKnesses, Mutar Lishka Volov, you'd be allowed to lie there. But again, the Mishnah Berurah here says, well, if it's better to avoid that. It's better to avoid it under all circumstances. Now the Mishnah Berurah also says that what about Besa, this is all with regards to Besa Knesset, what about Besa Medrash? What about regards to Besa Medrash? Pardon? Mokum Shina. You think that, so therefore, on top, should be fine. Mishnah Berurah says, if cotton mem, here is this topic. He said, from the Mishnah Berurah's words, it's evident that he puts Pesach Knesset and Pesach Medrash together because they're both called Mikdash Me'at. It sounds like it doesn't distinguish, which here is a shtikla or lechore, but that's what the Mishnah Berurah paskens. Right, okay, so this is with regards to what we covered tonight. Just to recap, we learned you're not allowed to enter you're not allowed to do disrespectful activities in shul, such as walking with a stick, bareheaded is not respectful. You're allowed to tamilo fundosoi on the somstak, it's okay. Mishnah Berurah said it's fine. Spitting, Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to. You're allowed to, as long as you cover it up afterwards. Shai Tzion says, if you don't do it at home, don't do it in shul. Mud, which are on the shoes, you don't bring it into shul, rub it off beforehand. And Beis Medrash and Beis Knesset should be cleaned and swept thoroughly at all times. Candles to make it light and bright. The Tznai was discussed that that even that initially, really, the Besa Medrash and Besa Knesset keeps Kedusha after even Bechurbanon. However, you can make a Tnai that won't help for Beyeshuva HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but La'acha Churbanon, you can make a Tnai that the Kedusha will disappear. However, this won't help HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael, will only help in Eretz Yisrael. Finally, we went Aliyah Shalgabe, an attic on top of Besa Knesset. If it's disrespectful, purpose shouldn't be on top. And we also learned that, that's what we learned. I just want to very quickly, if I've got 1 minute, I just want to finish off because I think Zichron Elvecha was Nifta, Rabbi Finkel. I was very close to him. I just feel I have to say one word in honor of Rabbi Finkel. I was lucky to be very close to Rabbi Finkel. I spent many, many Shabbos meals by him, and I spent many hours talking to him, and I went to his Vadim as well. And I just, without speaking too long, I just want to share with you two stories that I saw myself with Bari Finkel, Zichron Livrocha. Bari Finkel was the son of the previous Mashkiach. He was in his 80s when he was Nifta, and he was much more senior than all the other Shivas, but he was Mashkiach. And Rabbi Finkel, I remember very clearly, so clearly, it was one of the first weeks I was in Meir Yeshiva. He gave a shmooze to hundreds, the whole Meir Yeshiva. Literally hundreds of bochim. On his way there, there was a person who was a very, very simple, very, very simple person. An elderly gentleman who was selling shmonzes for a shekel, for 2 shekel. And he was stationed always in front of me, Yeshiva, and he would sell shmonzes for a pound, or, for a shekel or 2. Very, very simple, very, very simple person. Very, very simple. He would sell for pochim like shmonzes. And I remember clearly that he was just, Rabbi Finkel was walking to give a shir, and shmooze to hundreds of bochim, and he walked, as he was walking there, he stopped him, and this person didn't even know who he was talking to, he had just approached Rabbi Finkel. But he approached him, and he spoke to him about the weather. And here was Rabbi Finkel, just about to give shmooze to 200 or 300 or 400 bochim, and he was just there shmoozing to him about the weather. Gave him all the time in the world to shmooze to this individual. He was quite amazing. There was something that was just unbelievable. It was like, he gave me such a chizik. The person who had no barriers, no limitations, no covered whatsoever. He didn't know what he meant. Just spending time speaking to him was something which was a beautiful sight, which I remember very clearly. And as well as that, I remember also that I went up to him once to thank for a vad. It was a vad, a shir which he gave, and a vad, and I thanked him. And then he didn't know how to accept thank yous because he didn't feel he was worthy of anything. So instead of, I thanked him, I said, this is so meaningful to me, this was so meaningful. And to this day, I actually use the notes of these vadim, this shmuz, I use them a lot. And I thanked him, and he said, well, why are you thanking me? I have to thank you, he tells me. And he was absolutely genuine about this. He was so simple, so honest about it. I have to thank you because I couldn't give the share if people wouldn't come. So I have to thank you, he said. And it was so honest. It was like, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming. So this was the Rabbi Finkel. We should be zeichet to go and learn from his Goy Semai Sima. I wish you all a very, very pleasant holiday, and I hope to see you in 2 weeks.